Special Chronicles Podcast, Episode 34, Special Easter Louie.
Hi, I'm Captain Jeff, the airline pilot guy, and you're listening to the Special Chronicles Podcast with Daniel.
Sponsorship of this podcast is a gift from Holy Trinity School and Parish in Westmont, Illinois.
This episode is sponsored by Bluehost. Quit your own website or blog with a .com domain name for just $6.95 per month. Go to www.specialchronicles.com and click on the Bluehost banner for more information.
You're listening to the Special Chronicles Podcast with your host, Daniel, the show where we talk about respect and the message of the Special Olympics with the intent to educate and inform others about people with disabilities.
I'm not that different from you, but we're all together in what we do. So see me for what I am. Let's spread the joy while we still can. Then we'll break the barrier walls that stand. We'll come together hand in hand. Cause we're all the same, just with different names. And when it's done, you'll...
And hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome back to the Special Chronicles Podcast, episode number 34. I am so happy and glad to be back recording for another episode of the podcast. And today is currently April 8th, 2012, the day that I'm recording this. It's currently Easter Sunday, or at least the evening of Easter. I hope you all have a blessed and a happy Easter. And this is a great day. I've got an exciting part two of the interview with Jerry Boas, author of the Lily Trilogy. And I should have coughed before. Oh, I don't know why I just coughed there, but sorry. Anyways, it's an exciting interview. We've got a quick news segment with some stories that I wanted to share with you, some that relate to this and in Special Olympics, Illinois, and a couple of disability scoop.com stories. And a piece of feedback, and also how you can send some feedback and a final song from Papo. And so we're going to try to stick it to around an hour for this show. And I've got lots more great, fascinating interviews that are to come. You're going to be excited. Stay tuned to May 2012, because we've got an exciting interview coming up with Georgia, an awesome friend of mine who's also a global messenger and athlete for Special Olympics Illinois. And we've got another friend and global messenger, Jim. Who knows what else? We got some exciting news. So you're going to want to stay followed to Special C Podcast and Podman Dan on Twitter and also on Facebook as well. So stay tuned. You can go to specialchronicles.com and find out all the ways to follow, and you will be updated. So we're going to go ahead and kick today's show off with part two of our interview with Jerry Boas, where you're going to learn more about our whole books, the Lily Trilogy. Remember, if you missed part one, tune into episode number 33 of the Special Chronicles Podcast at specialchronicles.com, only in iTunes, because part one was a fascinating interview. So tune in to part one if you missed that. But anyways, without a further ado, here was part two of our interview with Jerry Boas, the author of the Lily Trilogy. Enjoy.
I encourage you all to change the R word to respect. Every one of us deserves respect.
Today's guest on the Special Chronicles podcast is Jerry Boas, the author of the Lily Trilogy. Jerry holds a bachelor's degree in journalism from Arizona State University and has written for a daily newspaper for 10 years. Her current vocation is as a mother, which has led to her career as an author. Jerry and her husband, Phil, are the joyful parents of four warm-hearted and highly adrenalized children who make life rich beyond belief. They currently reside in Arizona. Welcome to this Special Chronicles podcast, Jerry.
Thank you for having me, Dan. Really appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So moving on, let's start talking about your books, the Lily Trilogy. I first heard about these books on Catholic Vitamins with Deacon Tom and Dee Fox. I'm sure some of our listeners, because we have a wide range of listeners to this podcast. Some listeners may have heard that interview, so they know about these books. But for some of our new listeners, can you first tell us about what the purpose of these books are, and then the basic storyline about these books?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the purpose, I don't want to say the purpose is to convince anybody of anything, but actually the purpose is to allow the reader to take kind of a journey with these characters to a place that maybe they haven't gone before in their mind, maybe. Yeah. And what it is the books have a very strong but subtle pro-life thread through them. And also they have some other messages that deal with other problems that we're facing in the culture of death. I mean, there's euthanasia, there's the, you know, withholding of medical care. There's even a preemie in that book. Yeah. I don't know where I got that idea. And also, you know, the end of life, beginning of life issues, and then everything in between, including fidelity and chastity, and thing I don't want anybody to think is that they're going to get beat over the head with any of these messages, because it's really not not my goal to do that. I really wanted to write literature. This literature happens to be written from my worldview, which happens to be a Catholic worldview. And so the characters, and by the way, the characters aren't also Catholic, but they are sort of surrounded by Catholicism in a kind of subtle way, so that the reader might pick up on it and the actual character might not. Or the reader may not pick up on it, you know. Yeah. But anyway, the main character of the books is not Lily. Lily, by the way, the first book is Until Lily, and then there's Wherever Lily Goes. Okay. And then the third in the trilogy is called Life Entwined with Lilies. Okay. And they're all written from in first person, but from a different person's viewpoint of whoever comes to take care of Lily. Lily being the woman with Down syndrome. And so I could say Lily would be the main character, but she's not, because in literature, in good fiction, the characters need change. They need to change. And Lily is not the one that needs to change. Yeah. Lily happens to be pure love. And whereas the rest of us have to really work on that all of our lives and hopefully be reduced to that so that we can spend our eternity in heaven, where there is nothing but love. Yeah. That's really the purpose of our life here, is to be reduced to love. So while the rest of us have to work on that, Lily actually has it all figured out, but the people around her will come to different conclusions, or they'll have something come into their life that actually saves them from something because of her, because not because she's trying to change them, but just because of her existence.
Awesome. What has been the response from readers, both those people who are Catholic and also who are not Catholic? The response has it been the same, or positive, negative?
I have to say, and probably because people are not, they don't want to be mean to me, but yeah. I haven't really heard any negative, and I was really expecting to, because when you go into this sort of when you try to start speaking in this sort of language, sometimes it offends people who don't agree with it. But I've had people of all faiths actually tell me that they enjoyed the books. Some of them enjoy it, and that's great. The ones that I'm very thrilled about are the ones who have had some kind of life changing moment. You know, if I can just have one reader have that, then I've done, that's it. I don't need to have done anything else. And I'm glad that I wrote them. I'm glad I spent those hours and, you know, burning the midnight oil. But, the one really, profound comment that I think I got, and was that, and I don't want to give away any plots or anything, but just that this woman said it was the first time she was able to grieve her aborted children. And so to me, that was just so powerful that I could play a role in bringing someone to that kind of peace was a really such a beautiful thing to me as a writer. And for the non-Catholics, you know, you don't have to be Catholic to enjoy this at all. And you don't even have to be a person of faith. You know, you don't even have to be pro-life. Yeah. I think the characters are interesting enough and stand on their own as literary figures. I think that the readers that I've talked to have told me that they think about these characters after the book is over, and they've sort of formed a bond with these characters. They walk along with them on this journey, and then, you know, and then at the end, they really want to stay with them, and they're kind of sad, oh, it's over, you know? So, I think that, and then if people of different faiths too have, liked them. I know that I've got a lot of people, up in, Utah that read them. And so it's just, it's been really, I think what it is it hits on a lot of universal truths, and especially when it relates to family life.
Yeah.
I've drawn all of my material from my own family life, my dealings with my children, or someone, all of my friends who have had things happen in their family, or all of the little things that happen with kids that, you know, you think as a mother, you think, oh, I'm going to go write that down. And then you don't, you forget because you're busy with so many other things, with laundry or whatever. Well, I actually, when I started writing the books, I actually did go write them down. I have an excuse now, and I would go and quick write that down because my kid just said something so cute, you know? So a lot of that ends up in there, and it's been really
cool. Awesome. There's a family at my parish who we've known for a while, and they'll youngest is a son with Down syndrome, and he's either 12 or 13, last year his mom after mass, it was on January 1st of last year, his mom had given me a calendar of different kids that have Down syndrome, the podcast listeners can't see this,
this is what a handsome guy.
Yeah, his name's David, so I'm gonna share the information about these books and this interview with them, because I'm sure that they'll
relate. Enjoy,
they'll be able to relate a lot, because they'll the story of his both. I'm not gonna get into it just for privacy, but the story of his both was really remarkable and interesting when you know people and you can relate stories. And I'm sure when people have read any of these three books, and they either have a child with Down's syndrome, it's pretty comforting to relate to the stories.
Yeah, I think it allows also because the books start actually at the end of someone's life, looking back and looking back on some challenges and some funny, you know, moments and things like that. But I think because it starts at the end and works its way backwards, it allows people to see the big picture of their lives, you know, because I think that's hard for us. We're in our day-to-day sort of spinning on the hamster wheel And we forget the major overriding, overarching purpose of our lives is actually, as I said earlier, to learn how to love. That's why we're here.
Yeah. So for those listeners who are just tuning in, today's guest on the Special Chronicles podcast is Sherry Boas, the author of the Louis Trilogy. Without giving away any of the plots of these books, can you give us a short teaser synopsis of the three books to give all our listeners a quick tease to what these three books are about?
Yeah. So Until Lily starts with Bev, who is in the nursing home, and at the end of her life, looking back over her life and having to come to terms with her own weaknesses, failures, the things that she wished she had done different, especially as it relates to loving Lily, who has Down syndrome. And like I said before, she raises this child, but she doesn't really want to. She does it begrudgingly. And so that grudge kind of spills out over onto family life. And she regrets that in her older years. And she has to come to terms. She's also she's a fallen away Catholic. Yeah. And so she'll have to come to terms, because she's getting to the end of her life, of what's, she's going to have to come to terms with what's next in her mind, if anything. And so somehow Lily is going to bring her to that point. Then in the second book, which is called Wherever Lily Goes, mm-hmm. Her sister is now taking care of Lily. Lily's sister is now taking care of her.
Yeah.
And Lily's sister is struggling with some, vague sort of disgruntled ideas that her marriage isn't what it's supposed to be. Her children aren't living up to her expectations. She has particularly one child who is troubled, a troubled teen. So she's feeling disconnected from her family, from her husband and her children. And Lily is going to, because she comes to take care of Lily and her family has to, is embracing this task of taking care of Lily and being with Lily, something is going to happen within that family that will change things. And then in the third book, Lily is now living with her niece. Now, the niece is the grown-up one who was the troubled teen in the second book. Yeah. Troubled teen grows up and goes and then takes care of Lily.
Awesome.
And that one is the most emotional and I would say difficult to read, but it's probably got the most issues to work through for this character. But anyway, because of Lily, this character is going to have something happen in her life that she desperately needs, because she is harboring a very dark secret that is really, waiting to destroy her if something doesn't intervene. So
awesome. So would you say that these works of fiction are based on a true story?
No, they're not at all based on a true story. None of these characters are really, based on any other true people, true life people. Mm. But there are things within them. Like I said, if my child said something cute, I'm writing that in the story. Or if I heard that someone had an interesting situation happened to them, I'm writing that in. Mm. There really isn't. A lot of people are going to try to peg me to which character am I, even though they're written in first person. I'm not any of those characters, and I haven't even necessarily experienced the things that they have. But I've probably known someone who has, or I've probably somehow read about it, and it stuck with me, and then I wrote it into the story. So, Yeah, it's completely fictional, but yet true.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. So how would you say that the stories are based on real life events? Like, when someone reads these books, are there any real life events that they can relate to?
You mean, like, are there any specific real life events in the stories that actually did happen in my life?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of the preemie. That's loosely based on some things that I already know about having a preemie and having been with him in the hospital for 15 weeks and those sort of things. So, and maybe one of the nurses is sort of reflecting what I experienced or. But then the little anecdotes, the little things that happen, you know, with your daily life. And then sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't handle that right. Yeah. That's, you know, I wasn't patient. So in that goes to the story because, we're all flawed and we all have these weaknesses, but in the big picture, we're striving to eliminate that from ourselves so that we can deal, you know, mercifully with every human being, no matter what. They have disabilities, they don't have disabilities, whatever. And also to try to be more understanding of people because we don't know, you know, somebody gives you a dirty look in the grocery store because, you know, I don't know, they're in the line and they thought you were for whatever. You don't know what kind of day they had. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what kind of life they've had, you know. So. Yeah. I think just to be, we all have our moments when we're not living up to what we're supposed to be. So we kind of have to understand that about each other. But
yeah, awesome. So what would you say are some of the themes or the messages that readers will learn in these works?
The messages of the works?
Yeah.
There's just so many messages, but I think the overarching thing is that every human person has value, dignity, worth, and a purpose.
Yeah.
And so even if someone is born without the ability to walk, talk, eat, whatever, that life has purpose.
Yeah.
And there's a line in this second book as it relates to the preemie about what possible purpose could this life have served, you know, and there's always a purpose. It may not even be specifically for that person, but there's a purpose that we all have to, we won't know the purpose of everything that happens in our lives.
Yeah.
We have to be patient and wait.
So that's interesting. So for those listeners that are just tuning in, today's guest on the Special Chronicles podcast is Sherry Boas, the author of the Lily Trilogy. Where did the three titles, Until Lily, Wherever Lily Goes, and Intertwined with Lily's, come from?
They all came from inside the book. It was, I never know what the title is going to be until after I'm, you know, writing the book. So, at some point when my computer keyboard wrote blah, 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 Until Lily, it hopped out at me as the title.
Oh,
but what that really means is everything was different until Lily.
Yeah.
So for this person, this life, this person who's telling the story, everything was different until Lily.
Yeah.
And then the second book is the same way. I'm writing blah, 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 blah. Wherever Lily goes, goodness is sure to follow. And so that one seemed to fit the whole story of the second book. Mm-hmm. Wherever Lily goes, she's going to bring something into the people's lives that that is necessary, some grace.
Interesting.
And then the third one is, again, it's a line in the book about, this is, and it actually, the book begins and ends with that line. And life entwined with lilies is that, you know, our that character's life, even though she was just the niece, has been, she realizes that nothing in her life would be the same without Lily, who, by the way, and I forgot to mention, this is a huge thing. You'll learn in the first book that Lily could have very well been aborted.
Yeah.
So, that's the other, sort of, you know, message of the book, that we don't know what we're missing because all of these people have been aborted. But here in this trilogy is an idea of what might be missing in any one person's life because someone like Lily has been aborted.
Yeah. Interesting. So piggybacking on the last question, how did you come up with the character of Louis and the significance of the main character's name?
Oh, the name Lily, I just love the name Lily. I don't know why I've never named any of my children Lily, but I guess if I'd had like another girl or something, I might have named her Lily. But I'm glad I did because it served as kind of a focal point, some sort of visual I could use for the series. So a lily is the sort of trademark of the series. But and also, as I look back on it, I don't know that I planned it this way, but yeah. I like it because lilies are, of course, they stand for purity.
Yeah.
And there's really no more pure love than what Lily exhibits in the books. Not that she's perfect, because no human being is, but she she is a pure love. And so, and building her character was really fun and interesting because I have my daughter who's quite young, and so when Lily's little, I have a lot to draw from. I can, you know, I know the things that Teresa does and I can write those in, and I know how it is to deal with her. And there's a scene about a feather, you know, and how interesting the feather is to little Lily when she's a kid and how it makes everything else okay just because there's this feather that she had pulled from the down couch, you know, or pillow or something.
Yeah.
But so that actually, we had, Teresa was playing with a feather one day. I thought it was so cute. She did this in the bathtub today. She was just so focused on this one bubble in her bubble bath. She was poking at it. And I just thought, you know, these are the things, if I was still writing, I would have wrote that down.
Yeah.
So it was fun to build that. And then as Lily grows up and gets older and becomes an adult, I had to do quite a bit of research because I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like parenting someone who's an adult who has Down syndrome. So I did a lot of research on the internet and things like that to find out what that's like and it's such a very broad range of abilities that someone with Down syndrome might have. You know, there can be very little disability intellectually. There could be quite a bit. So there's a range, but Lily's somewhere in the middle. She's sort of how I view how Teresa will be, my Teresa, as she grows up. She's sort of like what I think might happen, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. So, one of the issues that we had talked about earlier in the interview is abortion. How can, because one of the main messages that I talk about and is part of this podcast is respect. So how can we have a greater end to abortion and a greater respect for people with intellectual disabilities?
I think by doing exactly what you're doing, doing what I'm doing, we are entering the media with a message. And I think it's what John Paul II had in mind when he was talking about the new evangelization and how the media is going to play a role in that. And the more that people know somebody or have been introduced to somebody or have seen get a glimpse into somebody's life who has a disability, the more they realize how we are so much more alike than we are different. And I think it's sort of like that with different cultures. You know, if you've never been to Europe, it seems so, you know, oh, what are those Europeans like, you know? But then you go there and you're like, hey, these people, you know, they get up in the morning, they have coffee. Well, if you're in England, you have tea. But, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know why you'd want to do that. But anyway, so you start to realize that we're just all so much, very much alike, and not, and our differences are just so minor. And it makes no difference. So that if you start to know someone who has a disability, then can you get your mind around killing that person in utero? You know, what could you go back to when that person was in the womb and say, yeah, let's get rid of him. And so I think it's probably going to be a very subtle sort of mindset or a change in mindset that is going to come about. But I actually believe, I have a lot of hope. I think it will. I think that we will, because it's so inherent to all of our rights, you know, this whole right to life, it's so much bigger than our, you know, is it the woman's body? Is it someone? No, this is about someone's inherent right to actually exist on this planet.
Yeah.
And to me, that's so basic. I think eventually we're gonna get there.
Yeah. There's a Christian movie that I recently, I believe it was a couple years ago that I saw with a good friend of mine, called Come What May. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's one of the main storylines in that movie is about debate, and the issue that they are debating is this issue of life, and it's a really powerful movie because the two main characters are they're on the same team, and it takes place at Patrick Henry College on the East Coast, and they argue about this issue for abortion and try to make the case for life, and it's I first heard about this movie Come What May from Lisa Hundy. I don't know if you,
CatholicMom.com.
Yeah,
and all us Catholic moms love that.
Yeah, yeah, and she has a podcast called Catholic Moments, and she actually had interviewed the filmmaker. I found this movie to be an interesting discussion on this issue of life, because my friend and his family all they're not Catholic, but they're a different form of Christian, and they're pro-life just like I am. We were able to relate to this film, and it was I think a great way of talking about this issue as well. So it's neat how there's movies out there, and then there's books like you have written and podcasts and different forms of media talking about this issue from different angles. So.
Yeah, one of my favorite. Well, actually, this might be my favorite movie of all. Yeah. And Bella. Bella is such a beautiful movie. I don't know if you've seen that, but that one. Again, it's so beautifully done. You don't have to be pro-life to love this movie. It's so beautiful, but it has such a wonderful message too, and it does it in such a artistic and subtle way. Yeah. That's really what is going to change. You know, that's what gets. Into people's hearts, you know, the most is if they can relate to the character, you know, and really walk that walk with the character.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in about 1 minute or so, cause we still have a few more questions. But what did you learn in writing these books?
Well, I think I've learned about evolution, the evolution of souls, you know.
Yeah.
I think that it's so easy to look at a person and sort of get this snapshot view of who they are. But we're real, you know, people are not static. So we're ever changing, and our souls hopefully are ever getting closer to purification and to where we're supposed to be. And I guess because the characters in my book have, I could see how they progressed, and where they started from and how I might've even viewed them had I been looking in at their lives and saying, oh, you know, she's doing it wrong. She's not living the right way. She's making all these mistakes. You know, God has this big picture in mind, when he looks at a soul. So he knows where all of that's headed. And so anyway, I think just looking at how characters evolve to me has shown me how real people, you know, can evolve.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of, I don't know if that makes any sense, where it's kind of backwards. It's like, shouldn't you have, you know, known of that before you started writing the book and you based the fictional characters on real life? But to me, it sort of was, it was a teaching moment for me.
Yeah. It's neat how when you work on a project, and while you're teaching your readers, or in the case of the podcast, listeners, a lesson, you yourself still learn both the same lessons and the different lessons as well. So it hopefully by you yourself learning lessons, then it can empower the reader or the listener even more.
Yeah, that is so true. We're all in this together, trying to find our way. So
awesome. So for those listeners who are just tuning in, today's guest on the Special Chronicles podcast is Shaylee Boas, the author of the Lily Trilogy. How has these books changed you as a person? And then how has these books changed readers who have read these three books, as well as future readers, based on today's interview on Special Chronicles?
Well, I think as changing me as a person, I think it has just made me a lot more willing to give people the time to find God's mercy, I guess, instead of quickly snapping to judgment.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, I hope it makes me a more compassionate person.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the characters around Lily, not Lily, because I mean, she's so easy to love.
Yeah.
As far as how it has changed others, I hope, and I hope this is how it will change others. I hope that somehow this book will fall into the hands of people who might one day be sitting at the doctor's office, and the doctor says, you are carrying a child with Down syndrome, and here is the referral to the abortion clinic. I hope it will cause that person to think, wait, I know someone with Down syndrome, Lily, you know, and somehow Lily becomes, you know, real to them, you know. Maybe she's been real to them in their fictional library, you know, and here she is. And wow, look at life with Lily, and what would life be like without Lily?
Yeah.
And they can maybe extrapolate that. On the other side would be, I hope that people will see the beauty of the Catholic Church and Christian mindset in the world. I hope that they'll be drawn to that. And if they're not Catholic and they're not even Christian, I hope they'll just be drawn to goodness, because there's so much goodness that we can all, you know, tap into, whatever your belief system is. But I think that being drawn to light and the good would be my biggest hope for anybody who, you know, reads the books. If it's going to be some kind of long-term impact on them, I would hope it'd be that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's, what you need, how even with a fictionist character, it can still be a realistic person for if someone doesn't know somebody with Down syndrome by knowing a fictitious character who has Down syndrome, then it can, like you said, make them realize that there are people who are just like who are just like Lily and people with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, speaking about people with Down syndrome, how has your daughter Teresa, who has Down syndrome, been a joy both in your life and also a joy in people in your life, your family and your friends and in your neighborhood and people around you? How has your daughter been a joy in their life as well as your life?
You know, I see it every single day. Every single day, I see Teresa go up and give someone a hug, and their face lights up. You know, and she's a very friendly, outgoing person. So, and Grandma came over. She's hugging on Grandma, and she said, "Oh, Teresa, you can tell Grandma needs a hug. You know, you can tell that." And then somebody else said, "Oh, everybody needs hugs," and it's true. You know, yeah. But how many of us will just, you know, go up and give someone a hug? So I think she spreads that, that love. And as far as our family, I just think we've learned so much. We've learned a lot about ourselves. We've learned like we're lacking in virtue. I'm sure that our virtue is being built because, more challenging sometimes for her to get her point across. There's just so many things that, take more time. I think what really the vision that I have is that she's sort of like able to make us understand what's really important, yeah. You know. And my children and I were at daily mass one day, and after mass they have a rosary, so we usually don't stay for that. But we were just sitting there after mass, and my three other children and I were just sitting there, you know, with our heads bowed, praying the rosary.
Yeah.
And we looked over at Teresa, and she was on her knees praying the rosary. So we're like, yeah, maybe we should be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So, she points the way a lot of times to, what's really important.
Yeah. Bringing up the one that I know from my parish who has Down syndrome, David, there was a quote by his sister because they had a family member write down a quote of their brother or sister or son or daughter who has Down syndrome. And David's sister had commented and said that David has had the power to light up any room. He is always smiling, cracking jokes, and doing impressions of his favorite TV stars. And then she goes on to say that he brings so much joy into our lives and shines his light into all the lives of the people he touches. He is a remarkable boy and an amazing brother. So it's neat how I think before David was born, they didn't have any siblings or children with Down syndrome. But it's neat how David's sister and I'm sure their family are able to see this, and I think that it's what she said about David is not just about him, but can obviously be applied to other people with Down syndrome, such as your daughter. Can you, based on the quote that David's sister had wrote, can you relate to any of that with your daughter?
I relate to all of that. Yeah. That's all just so perfect for Wordsmith. That's how I would have written it.
Yeah.
So, lighting up a room. I mean, that's what it is. You can just see people's demeanor change right away when she comes around. And we've never really experienced anything different than that. And I know that there are people that do, but I've never seen anybody not like her or or shun her or anything like that. That's been really neat to watch. And what that does for you is that gives you hope and humanity.
Yeah.
When you see smiles on other people's faces, it makes you think everything's right with the world, and it brightens your day too. So it's a great thing.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm sure that, many of our listeners are fascinated with the background information that you have provided about the liturgy and a party on the edge of those seats to read these books. Where can our listeners go to purchase these books and find out more information about these books, as well as connect with you online?
If they go to www.lilytrilogy.com, and Lily is with one L, Lily, Trilogy, trilogy.com, all one word, Lily Trilogy. They can find, email me, they can also purchase the, we have a site which is distributing the books. They can also go on Amazon, or a lot of the local, their local Catholic bookstores are going to have them too, because they're getting out there. Actually, this month is the first time that we're distributing them nationally through Catholic Word. So they'll be around. But if they if they don't want to wait and go to their local bookstore, if they just go online to my website, they can buy them online.
Okay, and so the. These books are available in a paperback. Are they also available as an ebook or audiobook or any other formats?
They're available in paperback and also on Kindle. If you want to do that through Amazon, or they're all available on ebook through AquinasAndMore.com.
Okay.
I really would love to do audiobook someday, but. We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, awesome. I'll make sure to include all that information in our show notes at specialchronicles.com. And final question, before we let you get back to your family and your work, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just really want to thank you, Dan, for doing what you do. I think it's just such a great service to not only people with disabilities, but really the whole to everyone, because we all need to remember that every life, you know, has a purpose. God created every life for a purpose. If we start trying to destroy people in the womb that are less than perfect, who knows, pretty soon we're going to have some way to tell that there's a gene for depression. I read an article like that, a gene for learning disabilities, what dyslexia, and then we're going to start aborting people like Hans Christian Andersen, who was had depression and was dyslexic, and F. Scott Fitzgerald, and Walt Disney, who had a learning disability, and T.S. Eliot. The list goes on, but you see, we can't start going down that road, and that's the road we're going down. But anyway, so thank you so much for all that.
No problem. This is all the information that we've talked about today has been really fascinating, and I'm sure that our listeners will get a lot out of it as well. So I'd like to thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast and for sharing with our listeners the importance to expect everyone, including people diagnosed with disabilities.
Thank you, Dan.
And that concludes part two of our interview with Joey Boas. I believe it might have got cut off, but hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview, and I'm sorry if it did get cut off. But we've got about 10 more minutes or so left in today's episode, so I'm going to go ahead and get to the news right now. We've got a couple of stories that I'd like to share with you. So we'll be right back. You're listening to the Special Chronicles podcast at specialchronicles.com, and we'll be right back with the news.
Welcome to the Pi News on channel 3.14.
And we've got some Special Olympics Illinois news, DisabilityScoop.com news, and who knows what else. Let's get to the news right now. And the first piece of news comes from Special Olympics Illinois at SOILL.org. And as a lot of you know, the Windy City Rebel Ducky Derby is happening in August. But you can adopt a duck. And if you go to specialchronicles.com/SOAdoptADuck, that's specialchronicles.com/SOAdoptADuck. You can watch a little video. It's a 1 minute video. Find out, you know, why you should and everything like that. And then click on a link where you can adopt under me. So that way people know that you came from this podcast at specialchronicles.com/SOAdoptADuck. And there'll be a link in the show notes for this episode number 34 at specialchronicles.com. So this next piece of quick news comes from Special Olympics Illinois. And when I logged on to SOILL.org, the feature story, and by the time you listen to this, it may change. But anyway, the feature story is of another fellow Special Olympics athlete, Kirsten, and she is on the same C-SPAL swim team with me. It's so cool to see someone that I actually know. Yeah. So anyways, and the title says Special Olympics athletes and Dominic's employee in inspires support for Special Olympics Illinois. Now, Kirsten is having a very good year. In February, she joined the board of directors for Special Olympics Illinois. Way to go, Kirsten! Way to go! In March, she won a gold medal in aquatics at the district competition. Oh, that's so awesome! That's so awesome! By the way, if you guys don't know, I'm in some commentary from what Barbara and Michelle at Special Olympics Illinois wrote. So anyway, back to the story. And she just helped kick off Dominic's annual April promotion for Special Olympics. Kirsten spoke confidently and enthusiastically via an internal broadcast to thousands of her fellow Dominic's employees in Illinois. So, and you can, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go ahead and read this story and see a few pictures. And maybe, who knows, we might be able to get Kirsten on the podcast. We'll see. If you would like to, if you would like me to get Kirsten on the podcast, or anybody from Special Olympics Illinois is listening, then contact me, feedback@specialchronicles.com, and we can see what we can do. Looking at the clock, we got a little bit more time left. So, the next piece of news comes from DisabilityScoop.com. DisabilityScoop.com, where it is the premier source for developmental of disability news. Once again, it's DisabilityScoop.com. And this story is entitled "With You and Back in Down Syndrome Day Makes a Mark." Now, the official World Down Syndrome Day happened on March 21st. And you might be wondering what's significant about that day. Well, 3/21 is the date, and it's because people with Down syndrome have, I believe it's a third copy or three copies of the 24th chromosome or something like that. So anyways, let's see whether this is quote. At UN headquarters in New York, disability advocates and those with Down syndrome join the conference Wednesday to mark the first worldwide awareness day, end quote. And so it can put, I'll put a link in the show notes where you can read this article to find out more information. And this a second and last article from DisabilityScoop.com is entitled, "Oldest Man with Down Syndrome Lives to 83. And, quote, a Minnesota man recognized by Guinness World Records as the world's oldest with Down syndrome has died at age 33. So it's some sad news, but isn't that so awesome that somebody with Down syndrome lived to the age of 83? That is so, so totally awesome. And they've got a link to the Minneapolis Star Tribune story on this. So you can find out more information by going to disabilityscoop.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes at specialchronicles.com to this story in the show notes. Once again, I'd like to remind you to once again go to specialchronicles.com/usoadoptaduck, specialchronicles.com/usoadoptaduck to find out more information. We'll be right back with a quick spread of the world to end the world summary and some quick feedback. So you listen to the Special Chronicles podcast at specialchronicles.com, and we'll be right back.
If you like this show, you might also want to check out The Break with Father Roderick. The Break is an award-winning weekly show about movies, technology, games, health, food, and faith. From The Simpsons to The Sacraments, from technology to theology, The Break features the cool and the classical, the past and the future, the trends, and the tradition. Download the show for free on iTunes or listen at sqpn.com.
Words are powerful. Hearing the R word makes people with intellectual disabilities and those who love them feel like less valued members of humanity. That's why we're asking you to help spread the word to end the R word. Join the campaign and make your pledge. It's time to respect and value people with intellectual disabilities. It's time to end the R word.
And it is now that time of the show we talk about spread the word to end the world. And as a lot of you know from previous episodes of the podcast, this campaign is a national awareness to let people know that all with the world we totally targeted out all of us with disabilities. It's really hurtful. It's really offensive. And you can go to all-world.org to find out more information as well as some flyers and other spread the world to in the world resources. And in more upcoming episodes, I will talk more in detail about this campaign as I've done in the past. So once again, you go to all-world.org to find out more information about the podcast. We're going to go ahead and get to some quick feedback, so you'll listen to the Special Chronicles podcast at specialchronicles.com, and we'll be right back with some quick feedback. We'll be right back.
DeVale is here!
Ooh.
Mail call! Gather around, everyone! Mail call!
You've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
You have mail.
Daddy has the email.
What's this? A letter for me?
And
you've
I have
mail.
Didn't receive that much feedback, but I did receive one feedback. I think I might have cut that before off, but you know, whatever. Anyways, the one piece of feedback comes from Leona, and Leona is from Special Olympics, Illinois, and she replied about episode number 33, or so, last episode, and she said, "Great job, interesting show, and you can go back and listen to find out live coverage of the Special Olympics Basketball Tournament, part one of an interview with Jerry Boas, went on a little rant about how you should not bully all of us with disabilities, and you know, it's a fascinating show, so go back." So once again, thanks Leona for that feedback, and it's great to have you and all of you out there listening. How can you send some feedback? I love to hear voicemail feedback. I don't receive that much, but I would love it. I would love to hear your voice and call and plus 1-630-384-9137. That's plus 1-630-384-9137. Or if you want to email, you can always email feedback@specialchronicles.com, feedback@specialchronicles.com. You can comment on the post for this episode at specialchronicles.com. Just look for episode 34 and you can leave a comment. And you can also like our page on Facebook and join in the conversation over there on our Facebook page at facebook.com/specialchroniclespodcast, facebook.com/specialchroniclespodcast. And if you want to tweet out, you can tweet us at Special C Podcast. Go ahead and tweet us with your feedback. If you're on Google Plus, I haven't used Google Plus that much for the podcast, but we do have a page, so go ahead over there if you would like. And go to specialchroniclespodcast.com, and those are on the left-hand side of the page. Those are follow us button, and you can find out the Facebook page and Twitter and Google Plus, and I think YouTube might be on there too. So just go over there, and you can find out how to follow us. Also on iTunes, on the right-hand side of the page of specialchroniclespodcast.com, there's that iTunes link. You can click on that, and then you can go to iTunes and subscribe, of course. But even if you don't subscribe, just go to iTunes and leave a positive review and a rating for this podcast. It helps a lot more people know about the podcast. So please go over to iTunes and leave a review for this podcast. It helps. Coming up on the podcast, again, we've got some more fascinating interviews, and even an interview with someone who I actually got an email who wants to come on the podcast, who started a new campaign called I Am Who I Am. She has a son with Down syndrome, so and her name is Howie, you can find out more information. I look forward to talking with her and hopefully even meeting with her, and we'll about an hour. I was hoping to get this down to an hour, but anyways, I'm going to get to some closing thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to the Special Chronicles podcast at specialchronicles.com, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tom Brady. Think about your best buddy, that friend you can always count on, who likes you just the way you are. Well, not everyone has a best buddy. That's why there's Best Buddies, the nonprofit that provides friendships and jobs to people with intellectual disabilities. At Best Buddies, we see people with intellectual disabilities the same way we see everyone else, as classmates, coworkers, as teammates, as friends. To find out how you can join the Best Buddies team, visit bestbuddies.org or call 1-800-89-BUDDY.
Well, I hope that you all enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I really hope you all enjoyed. It's been great to have all you as a listener. And let's go ahead and stop that music in the background. Anyways, I'd like to once again thank very much Shuri Boas. Thank you so much, Shuri, for taking the time to come on the podcast. Thank all of you fun listeners. Thank all of you listeners for tuning in to today's episode. And it's so great to have you as a listener. Remember to plus not to use the hour by going to all-world.org. That's all-world.org. Check out the links in the show notes for everything that's been mentioned in today's show at specialchroniclespodcast.com. Specialchroniclespodcast.com. And just look for episode number 34. And I always look for new intros. You can just say, hi, my name is Blink. I'm from Blink. And you're listening to the Special Chronicles podcast with Daniel. So go ahead and leave your feedback in your intros. +1-630-384-9137. Yes, that's +1-630-384-9137. Call in and leave your feedback. I always look forward to hearing from you. The final song for today's episode is called Pencil in the Hand. It is by Poppo. It's available at poppo.us. That's poppoe.us. Once again, it's Pencil in the Hand off of the old CD, Hip Hip Away. Courtesy of them at poppo.us, poppoe.us. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode, and I look forward to hearing your feedback. And I hope that you all have had a blessed and a happy Easter. And take care, and God bless, and I'll see you around.
Because of you, I'm a pencil in the hand of a writing god. writing love to all the world. I'm a pencil in the hand of a writing God, writing love to all the world. All I can do is scribble. But you can make it wonderful. I will never be perfect. Put it in your hands. Perfect is what I. Love to all the world. I'm a pencil in the hand of a writing God, writing love to all the world. I'm a pencil in the hand of a writing God, writing love to all the world. I'm a pencil in the hand of a writing God, writing love to all the world. Writing love to all the world.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Special Chronicles podcast. You can leave some feedback by calling the voicemail feedback line at +1-630-384-9137. That's +1-630-384-9137. Or send an email to feedback@specialchronicles.com. That's feedback@specialchronicles.com. And be sure to visit our website for more information on the show at specialchronicles.com. That's www.specialchronicles.com. So until next time, take care and God bless. We'll see you around.